Well, there's a curious thing about heaven. Heaven is often alluded to. If you just, you know, measured the number of times the word heaven is mentioned, for instance, obviously, you go to a memorial service, you go to a funeral, if it's a believer, you will hear heaven referred to. But what happens is, it's a word we reference but never explain. It's a word we reference without contemplating what it really is and what it really means. And so it almost becomes like white noise, you know, that stuff that's always there. Okay, we hear people refer to heaven, and then we just move right on. We don't think about what it is because we don't have a tangible, we don't exercise our imaginations in a relationship to heaven. Because what's to imagine? Disembodied state. I mean, how do you imagine? What do you do? What does a disembodied state look like? Well, it doesn't look like anything. I mean, it's just disembodied. And you don't feel anything, and you don't enjoy the taste of a cool drink of water, and you can't jump into a lake, and you can't eat and drink, and you can't do any of the things that we associate with physical pleasure because it's a non-physical world in our thinking. But Scripture is so emphatic. I mean, Paul, talking about the resurrection, says if we're not to be resurrected, we're of all people most to be pitied. In other words, the very thing that Greek philosophy valued, the idea of a disembodied state, was repugnant to Paul. I mean, we're of all men most to be pitied if we don't believe in a resurrection. He wasn't saying if we don't believe in life after death. He understands that a lot of people believe in life after death. But if there's no resurrection, we are utterly impoverished and we should be pitied. Well, you talk to saints in our churches today, and I've had conversations with people about this very thing, and they're thinking of a disembodied state. But they're not viewing it as Paul views it, as something repugnant and inhuman and unnatural. They're viewing it as what God really has for us. And the old thing about strumming harps, which I don't know how a disembodied spirit would strum a harp anyway, but the point is, the whole thing about strumming harps forever, and then no wonder people dread it because they think, oh, that would be so tedious and dull and boring. And, by the way, what a demotivator when it comes to evangelism. I want to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ with you so that you too can live forever in a tediously dull, boring place that I dread. No. That the motivation for evangelism would be, first of all, obviously to the glory of God, that people would be converted and regenerated. Yes, escape the fires of hell, but to enjoy life in the presence of Almighty God for all eternity.